Bitterness is ugly. And I want to ask you, are you harboring bitterness against anybody?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear another timely message from Pastor Brian Grant in his mini-series entitled Prescription for Revival. In his earlier message, Pastor Grant laid out for us from 2 Chronicles 7:14 the personal ground in which the hand of God moves to bring revival among his people. First of all, is the requirement that we must be living in accordance with God's word. Secondly, we must be faithfully proclaiming God's word. Thirdly, we must humble ourselves before the Lord. And fourthly, we must engage in intense prayer and fasting that moves the hand of God. In this evening's message, Pastor Grant will again take us back to the familiar text of 2 Chronicles 7:14 to look more deeply into what God meant when he said, "If my people." Let's listen now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Prescription for Revival, Part 2. Here is Pastor Grant.
In 1837, four young men sensed the need for a mighty movement of God in Ireland. And so these four young men, they started a prayer meeting in Ulster, Ireland. As time went along, more people sensed the need for revival and the prayer meetings expanded. And in 1859, just 2 years after they had started praying for revival, God answered in an incredible way. In the city of Ulster that year, thousands of backsliders were restored and over 100,000 people got saved way back in 1859. What has been called the Ulster Revival had started. As a result of this revival, there was almost no crime. I think this may be the story Brother Raphael mentioned a few weeks ago, but there was almost no crime. The jails were totally empty. Judges had almost no work to do. A revival had started and it was transforming people's lives. The whole community was being impacted. I tell you, scripture reading went up, churches were packed. A revival, a bona fide revival had taken place as God was moving in a mighty way. And after the events of this week, I think there is no doubt that America desperately needs a heaven-sent revival. Amen? We need a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God that will turn our nation to God, that will penetrate our hearts. And before we start pointing fingers, listen, all of us need to be revived. The entire nation needs to turn our hearts towards God. From the top to the bottom, from the president and the president-elect, everyone, we need a heaven-sent revival in our nation. We are praying that God might bring revival and that he might start it with us. Amen? This is why we have called the church to 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we are trusting God to do something very special. I have been speaking, I started last week speaking on the theme, Prescription for Revival. I told you last week it was a two-part message. It turns out that it's a three-part message. As the Lord continues to work, next week we'll hope to bring this message to an end. But the message is based on 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And to make sure we all have it, I'm going to ask them to put it on the screen so we can repeat this verse together. Last week I suggested to you, and I want to encourage every believer in Jesus Christ to memorize this verse. If you do not know this verse, you memorize it, because I do believe it has four very important preconditions for revival. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 14. Let's read it together. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. There are four preconditions in that verse that we have to pause to look at. First precondition, what is the first precondition? We must do what? Humble ourselves. The second one, we must what? Pray. The third one, we must seek his face. And the fourth one, turn from their wicked ways. Next week, we're going to talk about the final two, talking about seeking his face. What does it mean to seek the face of God? It's more than just praying. And we talk about turning from their wicked ways. But number one, put this in your notes. As the first part of my message is just a quick two-minute rehash of the points we made last week. Just trust me, I tend not to go back over what I did, amen? Even if we're doing a series, if you missed it, you got to get it online or get a video of the message. I treasure those who take the time to come, and I don't think you want to sit here listening to me for half the message saying what I said the last time. Am I right about that, amen? We must humble ourselves before God. You know, the sin of pride is often overlooked, but it's a very heinous sin. This is the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. It was pride that got Satan kicked out of heaven. And pride is, listen, a very serious sin. So it should be no surprise to us that the first precondition God gives is that we must humble ourselves. This is one of the most difficult things to do. And if I were to ask you, are you humble? Please don't say yes. One man wrote a book, I don't know if it's true, Humility and How I Attained It. Well, if he knew he attained it, you realize he's in trouble, all right? I think that was, I don't think it was really true. But we got to be very careful because there's a tendency to feel, I am humble, but nobody else is. We all have work to do, and as we have come into God's house this morning, let us be honest before God, we have some work to do. I want to share three areas of humility that are so important. Write this down. Number one, we covered this last week, so we're not going back over it, but humility, number one, requires that we submit our will to God's will. Amen? You know, we're so impressed with ourselves. Sometimes we believe we have such great ideas, but I tell you, your ideas and my ideas are nothing compared to God's will. Amen. So might we submit our will to God's will. But second, as we also saw last week, write this down, humility requires that we do not allow pride to discourage us from witnessing for God. And that is one of the big challenges in the Christian world. The born-again believers are silent, and everybody else who has the wrong message, they're busy spreading their message. But those of us who know Jesus, we have locked jaw. We are so concerned about what people are going to say about us. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth. We are so concerned about what our co-workers and our relatives and our friends will say. We are totally silent. You go to the train station, you go to the airport, you go on the sidewalk, you see the Jehovah's Witnesses busy doing their thing, and we're quick to criticize, and we say, but they're not telling the truth, the true gospel. Well, what are you doing? What am I doing? We need to get busy. We need to have courage to spread God's word. It is part of humility. The reason we are not spreading it is because we're so caught up in our image. And we'll talk about everything on the internet except that Jesus loves you. Come on now. You know I'm right about this. We'll talk about everything. We may throw a verse out there every now and then, but we will never say, I love Jesus. He saved me from my sin. And I'm so thankful for what God has done. And if you receive him as your Savior, he will come into your heart and your life, and he will save you. No, we don't want to say that message because that may give us the wrong image. You know, you can pray all you want for this world to get better. This world is not going to get any better. And the only thing that can bring positive change is the word of God. I know I'm right about that too. Amen. Humility requires that we do not allow pride to discourage us from witnessing for God. And I know every now and then I run into some Christian who's been saved for 10 years or more, and they say, "Pastor, I don't really know how to witness. That's why I don't witness. It's not because I'm pride." Well, you won't have an excuse, because we're running an evangelism explosion seminar at the end of this month. Amen. And after 21 days of prayer and fasting, if that doesn't make you excited and ready to share your faith, I don't know how to finish the sentence. May God have mercy on us. Amen. May God do a work in our hearts that, having prayed, we will not just be satisfied that we have prayed and fasted for 21 days. Listen, there is a reason for the prayer and fasting, because what God intends to do is to let the gospel explode in you so that you're never the same again, that your locked jaw, hallelujah, if the only thing that happens from 21 days of prayer and fasting is that we're healed of locked jaw, hallelujah, what a revolution would happen in our families and in our communities if every Christian in GCA got rid of their spiritual lockjaw. Oh, hallelujah. Pray with us about that. Pray with us. And having prayed, let us all make sure we get on board. I'm ahead right now. I've taken more time than I intended to. But point number three, put this down. This is brand new. Humility requires that we get rid of bitterness and develop a forgiving spirit. Oh, we just read Jonah chapter 3. Let me pick up Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. Then God saw their works, as the people of Nineveh, he saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God had decreed that they were to all die in 40 days. But they turned from their evil way. God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Chapter 4 says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said? He is bent out of shape." Verse 3, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Incredibly, Jonah, God's prophet, was angry because God showed mercy to the Ninevites and spared them. The root cause, stay with me now, the root cause of Jonah's problem, or we might dissect it as much as we want, but the root cause was pride. And if you take time to read verse 2, you'll notice that as Jonah speaks to the Almighty God, Jonah uses the word "I" and "my" 5 times in the one verse. Jonah was impressed with Jonah. Jonah thought he was better than the Ninevites. Since he was Jewish, he believed he deserved God's favor, but that these Ninevites, whom he hated, deserved nothing but God's wrath and judgment. You know, there are folks today who have what I'm calling the Jonah spirit. The idea that they are better than others and deserve more privilege. Am I right about that? As long as some of us shined shoes, picked cotton, and cleaned toilets, all was okay. But because we refused to stay in our place and have become scientists and accountants and CEOs and even the president of the United States, some folks feel threatened. Oh, some folks say we gotta take back America. Sadly, there are folks with the Jonah spirit who are Christians. And oh, I pray this morning that as you listen, if the Spirit of God touches you, that you will share this message on the internet, because I am trusting God that this message will make its way before some who have the spirit of Jonah, because some with the spirit of Jonah who are Christians showed up at the terrorist attack on the Capitol, holding the Christian flag and carrying signs bearing the name of Jesus. Make no mistake, if you are part of that group, whether you're at the Capitol or where you may have been at home, but if you are part of the group who is trying to take back America and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, my friend, you need to realize you do not have the mind of God. You need to realize you have brought reproach to the name of Christ. For God united all born-again Christians into one body. White folks, black folks, yellow folks, red folks. We were all made one by the Holy Spirit. Am I right about that? Like it or not, sir, madam, like it or not, we're all one in Christ. And I need you to know that even though you might hate me because of how I look, I want you to know I do not hate you. I want you to realize that because of what Jesus has done, the blood of Jesus has made every born-again believer one in Christ. And even though you may hate me and you might want to kill me, I want you to know I love you in the name of Jesus. And it is my prayer that today you change course. You need to repent today, my brother and my sister. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you need to repent and ask God to help you get rid of the spirit of bitterness. This spirit of bitterness is deadly. You know what is amazing? There are many who have that spirit, who are fighting to save the unborn babies. And I might tell you, I'm one of those who are pro-life. They're trying to save babies because they're made in the image of God. But how in the world can you be trying to save babies because they're made in the image of God while you're trying to destroy people of other races who are also made in the image of God? My friend, it makes no sense. We are all made in the image of God. We are image bearers of God. And I thank God we're not only image bearers of God, but those of us who have received Christ, we are part of the same family of God. We're going to heaven, hallelujah, the same heaven. There is no compartment. And I encourage you today, my friend, to make a decision. Some of you are following somebody else. You're just following the crowd. It is time to stop following the crowd and stand flat-footed on the word of God. It's time to follow Jesus. Amen. But my friend, listen. Listen good. If you insist on continuing on your path, please don't take the name of Jesus with you. Oh, I know the song says, you know, remember that song? Take the name of Jesus with you. And it goes on to say, take it everywhere you go. But my friend, I want you to know, if you're going to continue on that path that is contrary to the will of God, I'm going to beg you, don't take the name of Jesus to those marches. For the same song that says, take the name of Jesus with you, it says it's a precious name. It says it's a sweet name. It's a holy name. And I'm going to beg you, don't take the holy, precious, sweet name of Jesus to those marches. Don't desecrate the name of Jesus. And my friend, you might be watching me this morning, and the Christian church has turned you off so badly because of the misbehavior of those. I want you to know that's not the message of Jesus. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he died for your sin. And you don't have to watch these crazy people. You can come to Jesus, and you can ask him to come into your heart and cleanse you, and he will change you, and he will make you part of the universal church. He'll make you ready for heaven. And I trust that this morning, my friend, as you listen to God's word, you will open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. Bitterness is a very ugly thing. Bitterness caused these people to take up sticks and beat a policeman to death. We We sit here, we watch, and we criticize. And while we're criticizing, we have bitterness in our hearts. I want to ask you, who do you have bitterness in your heart against? Bitterness is incredibly ugly. Whether it's motivated by politics or sociology, it is terribly ugly. If you don't think how it is ugly, look at what happened here in this text. God had spared the lives of 120,000 people. The Bible says over, you read on chapter 4, it tells that God says, I have saved the lives of over 120,000 people. But Jonah was so bitter. He would have preferred if God had killed all 120,000 people. I tell you, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. This was a prophet of God. But because of this spirit that I am better than you, this spirit of bitterness, he was bitter against these Ninevites. He hated them. He wanted them dead. And this bitterness, he wanted God to kill 120,000 people. And because God didn't kill them, he says to God, kill me. I prefer to die. I don't want to live. Bitterness is ugly. And I want to ask you, are you harboring bitterness against anybody? What will God have to do? You know, God had put Jonah through. He went into Whale University. But after everything that God had done, Jonah is still angry. He's still bitter. What is God going to have to do to you to get you to overcome your bitterness? Oh, stop right now. Who is it you're bitter against? Who are you mad at? Who are you angry with? What is God going to have to do to you? There is no good reason for bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 tells us, let all bitterness be put away from us, and there is no good reason not to forgive. I'm going to put that verse on the screen. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on what? Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. Oh, these are words that we need to pay attention to. Meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another person, you got an issue with somebody? Even as Christ forgave you, what does it say? You must what? You must also do. My brother and sister, you do not have any reason to hold on to bitterness and anger. God says you must forgive. You say, Pastor, I can't forgive. For what was done to me was very painful. And I can imagine. Can I be honest? I had some very, very painful things done to me as well. But you know, Fred, God is not going to excuse the evil that was done to you. He said, God will deal with the person who did the evil. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. He says, I will take care of it. He says, what we need to do is to humble ourselves and forgive. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to humble yourself and forgive whoever it is has hurt you? Will you do it? Will you do it for Christ's sake?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now. Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.